came rabbis and talked to him, so they asked him, so he told them that Rav Shlomo Amar going to be with them about money issues, but not about kashrut. But I'm asking him, Rav Shlomo Amar, that will not going to stop himself from giving an advice about the kashrut. Through the words over there, he brought a certain halakha. And I'm admitting on the truth. I was immature in that time. And I wanted to check certain thing, that I wanted to check if a Rav knows that, just out of curiosity. A certain thing that it was not that known, something that wasn't, and I haven't met no one that had that knowledge. So he said, it's interesting, I found that during my learning, the Limud. So because that I had that thought, childish thought, and that day I almost fainted. I told him those words, I haven't even started opening my mouth. It's an opinion of a student of an Oda B'Yuda that had that story in his days. There was the Shochet of that city, he was sick and he almost died. And that when it was his time, he asked that the Rav gonna come to him. So the rabbi came to him, prayed on him, the rabbi of that city. So he told him, the rabbi, before that you're gonna pray, I have to ask, I have to confess. A person before on his deathbed, you have to confess. So he told him on what you need to confess, that person, that shochet, he was drinking. He was drinking vodka. And when people are drinking, it's very hard. And he was drinking too much, and he wasn't counting enough. And he knew that sometimes the knife was defected. And he admits in front of Hashem that he made people to fail in that. After a while, he told him also the last slaughtering that I made in the city, the knife was defected. Immediately the Rav went out and let all of the people that left meat from the last slaughtering of that shochet throw it to the dogs. It's taref and nevela. And all of the vessels of all of the city have to purify their kelim, their vessels, their tools. In the end, that shochet didn't die. He became to be healthy. Because of that confession, probably it created that shame, gave him that mercy, forgiveness. After he went back to, and he's saying, people are coming to him, telling him, what have you done? So they're telling him, what have you done? So he's saying, what? Nothing happened. So they're telling him, the rabbi said. So he came to Arav and he asked him, Arav, why you told them? So he said, yes, you don't remember, you were crying. Said to the rabbi, Arav, you are lying. I wasn't crying and I wasn't confessing. So they came to the student of the Noda B'Yuda. What should we do? Who are we going to believe? To the rabbi or to the shochet? The question is, one witness against one witness. One witness cannot count. So the rabbi told him, because that he is the rabbi of the city, they accepted on themselves, he is loyal. Because there is a Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin, and this is the Psak Halacha by the Rambam in Shulchan Aruch, in Choshen Mishpat. If a person said that person is loyal to him, even that he is one witness, and even that he is his father, it obligates him. So, because they accepted that rabbi of the city accepted him to be their rabbi, chief rabbi. Whatever that he is saying, you cannot ignore it. So he brought the Pitcha Tshuva, brought it in the beginning of Yoreh Da'ah. And he didn't brought no one that disagree on that psak. And I wanted to check, because there was a question over there. The rabbi said, I want to establish a Beit Din also for mikveh. So we all were wondering, for wondering? We never heard about Beit Din for mikveh. So he said, yes. What are you wondering about? Yes, he said. Sometimes, he said, there is a question from the one that works in the mikveh. And after a while, they're asking, the rabbi didn't tell us, you need to have a court, that people will not going to be able to erase the other opinion if they're having arguments. So he said, in that opportunity, so I just said, I didn't even mention the name of the wise Talmid Chacham. So he told him, yes, I know, you're talking about that place, in that situation. He knew everything. But there was an and he count for him 14 poskim that said an opinion against that hidden opinion that no one that he met ever before knew that opinion. Rav Ovadia count for him 14 poskim and brought him the places of 14 disagreements on that psak. All of the things that we were talking, in the hardest questions, in all of the, never, there was no situation that he didn't know exactly everything that been talked about that issue. Who are we going to ask today? Who are we going to go to today? The Navi is saying, who going to teach us the wisdom and who going to understand the rumor? Who are we going to ask? Who going to teach us the path? Huge people. I remember we were sitting in Beis Din in there was Rav Tzvi Broide, Alav Shalom, he was a Av Beit Din, head of court, and he was sitting with Maran when Maran was a Dayan in court. On every hard question, also in Gittin, in all in Chalitza, in hard situations, he was asking Maran. He's a brother of a huge genius, Rav Simcha Broide, the grandson of the grandfather Mikelm. Every time that he was in the Beit Din, Rav Kleisman was a genius in the Torah, a student of Rav Aaron Kotler. That also, when he was young, Rav Aaron Kotler told about him that he knows Shas. And on every question that he had, they asked the Rav Ovadia. One time he had a question. There was a woman that had to have chalitza. The husband died and didn't leave boys and brothers he had. But the question, he's got two brothers. He had four or five brothers. The elder one married. But one of the brothers are not married and he's the smaller one. There is a huge argument between the Bet Shmuel if to prefer the married one, even though that he's married, because it's chalitza like yibum, or to prefer the bachelor, even though that there is a mitzvah to take the elder one. What is better? The Bet Shmuel and the Ravid, I think, that he said, are arguing. So the Rav Kreisman is saying, can I decide between Rabbi Akiva Eder, Rabbi Akiva Eger, and the Bet Shmuel that was for... And he was like a lion, going and coming and doesn't know how to take a decision. Can I say Pesach? I told him, Rav Kreisman, let's see it. He said, where, what you want, how can we decide? So I told him, so let's call a Rav. He said, thank you for reminding me, thank you. Now I'm calling him. He called a Rav Ovadia, and a Rav know him. Also his wife, the Rabbanit Margalit, was alive. She answered the phone. He told her, it's talking the Rav Kreisman, I need to talk to the Rabbi urgent. She told him, now Rav, haven't slept all night, he was learning all night, he finished Shachrit now, he needs to go to sleep. He told her, it's urgent, have to wake him up, call him. He was very strong, Rav Kreisman. She told him, no, I'm not going to wake him up. I'm watching his health. Now he needs to sleep 1 hour, 1 hour and a half. I'm going to wake him up. He told her, listen, Rabbanit, it's an urgent question. She told him, if it's urgent, I promise to you that immediately when he's going to wake up, first thing, I'm going to ask him your question. Send it in handwriting. Write it down. They send the fax. I think that there was a fax back then, that it was through the fax. He didn't have a choice. He wrote all of the question. I don't remember if there was a messenger or if there was a fax machine. After 2 days, the answer came. And Rav Kreisman ran. I was sitting in a different court and he was sitting in a different court. And he ran to me and told me, Rav Shlomo, I saw from a distance the handwriting of Rav Ovadia. I realized, I saw the handwriting of Rav. We know that handwriting. I told him, what happened, Rav Kreisman? Told him, come and look. When we ask Sunday, today it's Tuesday, look what he wrote. 2 days. We sat to read a long answer that had been typed in Yabia Omer in the 7th part, volume. Huge answer, wonderful answer. And over there is showing that he didn't came to give the psak between the answers of those two huge that said psak. If to answer like this or to answer like that. Just he brought in the beginning of his words the sugya from the Gemara and he brought a proof by one of them. It was so amazing. And I was still young. And I wanted to laugh a little bit with Rav Kreisman. I told him, you put notice on what the Rav brought? Is it a proof? What the Rav brought? So he looked at it and told him, yes, it's an amazing proof. So I told him, I'm sorry that I'm asking, but it's not a proof. So he checked it again. Told him, what do you want? It's a proof. And I started from the Ritcha Doraita, from Fire of the Limud, he started to scream at me. So I told him, please, check it again. And he checked it again. He told me, it's a wonderful proof, like the first ones. So I told him, thank you. So I told him, what, are you laughing at me? I just wanted you to see that there are other poskim, that they are bringing a proof in such an amazing level like that he brought. They're writing, I found a proof and this and that. And then they're bringing the proof. But here Rav just wrote the proof, straight, the proof. Even his chidushim, he's putting between two or three rabbis that wrote their opinions, that you're going to think that it's the words of that posek or that posek, that you're not going to recognize that it's his chidush. He wasn't showing at all that it's his chidush, that it's his psak. So I told, this is why I told you, now you should understand why there was a lot of people that was saying on Rav Ovadia that he was baki but wasn't checking his words, he was hiding them between the psakim, and people don't feel, don't sense the chidushim of Rav Ovadia, what that his opinion. He's just bringing the opinions and he's hiding his wisdom inside of it. The truth is that everyone that saw the way that Rav Ovadia was investigating in the Torah, checking, he knew that there is no one to compare to how much that he knew, but to check deep into the sukkiya, for sure there was no one close to him. And he was hiding himself with his humility that no one gonna see his greatness, how much he was putting, how much he was in understanding the sukkiya to the depths. Every evening, eve of the holiday, maybe 20 years ago, it was Rav Binyamin Levy and me, and Marani was the head of that court for the chametz, to sell the chametz before of Pesach. And he told me always, you're going to be with me. And in that year, I had huge arguments written, arguments of Torah and Kedusha with huge real honor with Rav Shalom Mashash, the huge, the head rabbi, head of all courts in Jerusalem. So he wrote on something that calls Nat Bar Nat. He wrote on Nat Bar Nat that by Maran something is not allowed at all, on vessels, on tools. And me, I saw a book that he wrote of Mizrach Shemesh, from the east the sun gonna come. When he was 17 he wrote. And I read that book that he wrote and I found a proof through that book that by Maran you allow, you can permit. So he answered to me a huge answer that I'm wrong and that he is right. And I answered to him again and he answered to me. You can make a book out of those answers that we wrote to each other. And he stayed in his opinion and me, the small one, stayed in my opinion. And I looked at it in a shoot that I brought it to Maran, alav shalom, that he's gonna look at it. Every book that I would bring him, that he's gonna write his approval. After a few parts he told me, why you need it? You can copy my agreement from another book, copy it. So I told him, if Rav doesn't want to agree on that book, especially I'm not publishing that book. When he was a little bit younger, when he had all of his powers, he was reading all of the book before that he was writing the agreement. And he knew it all. When I wrote my book, after I wrote it, I forgot. I put it in the closet books and this is it. He read it once and it's all in his... And he told me, you wrote it. And I told him, me? He told me, yes, you. You wrote that answer. And he's telling me in which chapter, in which paragraph. So in that agreement, he brought that argument. And he told me, don't be afraid. because with you I'm with you. He was supporting and gave me a few more proofs that I thought that this is it, that after that I checked there was no more proofs. And I checked a lot of parts, and I wrote four or five answers, and he gave me a lot more proofs to support my shita. And he brought a lot of poskim, all by heart. After a while, I met the Rav Mashash Alav Shalom. I was in his place, and he told me, I saw that Rav Ovadia agreed with you, but I still disagree with him. This is what Rav Mashash told him. After a while, so I told him, in friendship, I told him, I know that your honor have your opinion. So he told me, but why he told me, what he wrote, don't be afraid that I'm with you. Am I a lion that I'm going to do something against you that you should be afraid of me? So I saw that the word Al Tira, don't be afraid, maybe he was offended. Thank you, Hashem. 2 weeks before, I saw in Siyata Dishmaya that I saw an answer from the Rashdam. And the Rashdam, Rashdam was younger than the Bet Yosef. And when the Rashdam was arguing in that generation, so he wrote to Rabbi David Ben Zimra, the Radbaz, a question. So the Radbaz wrote for him, don't be afraid because I'm with you. I told him, Mechila, I'm sorry, Arav. This is how that Radbaz wrote, don't be afraid. Why? Because he was young, and the one that he was arguing with him was old. Because you are young, and the Rashash is old, this is why he told me, don't be afraid, because he's elder than you. So he told me, thank you. So he thought maybe he said something against him. He said, no, just he was counting on the shita of the Radbaz to honor you, your power, because of your great age. So he was happy. When I was teaching in the Kollel, they asked me to talk about Pesach. And I went through my mind to check halacha in Pesach, that Maran is saying that nat barnat is allowed also in chametz. Not, it gives taste in something that gives tastes. But in Pesach, even one in thousand is not allowed. So nat barnat, if it gives taste, there is nothing in it. It is giving taste. So there is something in it. So it's a huge question on Pesach. If it gives taste, so there is something in it. Like 3 weeks and I couldn't find an answer. And I looked all of the first explanation, Mefarshim, as much as I could find. And I put a lot of effort, day and night. And I knew all of those sugyot very good, very deep. Because that I was writing a lot of questions and get a lot of answers, I had to put more effort to find, not to write nonsense to rabbis. So I had to learn very carefully. For 3 weeks I was trying. After 3 weeks I thought to myself that I reach it to understand that halakha of not about give taste and give taste in Pesach. And I gave a shiur and I told them that thank the Hashem. After a huge effort I found an explanation. And they were very happy. Few days after, I came in front of Rav Ovadia before of Pesach to sell the chametz. After we finished, I saw that Rav wasn't so good. But usually after selling the chametz, he was happy. So I was daring to ask him, our Rebbe, can I ask you a certain halakha that I clarified? So he told him, yes, what? So I asked him. And I gave him that explanation. And he listened to me. And I was shaking when I was saying that. And it all was revealed in front of him. All of the details. When I finished my explanation, he told me, you are right. This is how the Ramban wrote. And then he said the words of the Ramban by heart, like that it's written, exact words, word after word. And he told me, this is what the Ramban wrote. like that you said, very good. I was disappointed. Why? That Ramban, I wrote it 15 times in that period of time. 15 times. And I didn't find even a hint in what that I said. What that I wrote, I thought that it was a huge chidush, and I couldn't find it in the Ramban. So he said to Rav Avadia, maybe I couldn't explain myself to you because of explaining it shortly. He thought that he gave a chidush that Ramban didn't wrote. So he explained it to him again. He's saying how confused I was. He let you speak. He doesn't stop you in the middle of your words. And he told me, this is what it's written in the Ramban. Because of all of my sins, I went very confused. Very confused. Pity. If I would have had... Again, I felt like that I was wrong, wasn't explaining myself right. I couldn't understand it back then. He was disappointed that he couldn't explain himself to Arav. We made a Seder Pesach. Day after, suddenly I thought, you decide that the rabbi didn't understand you? You qualified to decide that the rabbi didn't understand you? Arav is, but he said yes, but I checked it 15 times and more. He said, why to be lazy? I'm going to bring the Ramban. I sat on that Ramban 2 days or three, and I'm reading it again and again. And believe me, in a complete faith, that in the end, Hashem, when Hashem opened it to me, I saw that everything that I had chidush on it is written in the Ramban already, one-to-one, one-on-one. The explanations, we cannot understand. We think that we see. We don't understand things that we understand. What that we can understand after 30 times, after crying and praying, it's the beginning of the limud, how they're starting to learn. And then I started to understand what is their greatness. So I said to myself, oily, that I assumed to myself that I am one of the huge people, that I thought to myself that I can understand. Now I can see. And I was broken. I was totally broken. What can I learn? What in this condition? What is going to help me to learn? What I'm going to achieve? I had to get stronger and stronger. Today, Baruch Hashem, I'm thanking Hashem that there was a huge person like that, a Talmid Chacham, that can teach us, open our eyes to see the truth. There was a story with the Rabbi Miklosenburg that passed away. I'm going to tell you from first testimony. There was a Dayan that we were working together, and we were learning a lot together. We were learning a lot together. We were driving. His name was Rabbi Shmuel Feldman, righteous man. His merit is going to protect us all. He was aware, known all of the Torah. We wrote a lot of Psaki Halacha together. I was still a new, a fresh Dayan. And he was, in the beginning, he was connected to the Rabbi Migur, the Bet Israel. After that he passed away, the Rabbi Migur, he went and connected himself to the Rabbi Miklosenburg, Alav HaShalom. And he was learning Chavruta with him. And that he was a huge genius. The one that wrote Divrei Yatziv. Through his answers you can see his greatness. And he was learning with him Chavruta, and he told me himself that myself. In the end of the days of the Rabbi Miklosenburg, he was very ill, and they took him to United States. Thank Hashem, he went healthy. After 2 days from the surgery, 2-3 days, they told him, you have to go to the bed, you have to start walking. in those days, telling them in the day after to start walking. But they told him that only 2-3 days after it. Who was close to him? The Rav Shlomo Feldman. He was close to Rabbi Mikloizenburg after 3 days. So the Rebbe told them, called my helper, the guy that helps me, and that he's going to bring with him Masechet Bruches. So they asked him, they didn't understand what he wants. He brought Brachot, told him, open the first page. When it's the time to start saying Shema. So they helped him until he went down. After that, he stand up on his legs, started to walk a little bit. He told Rav Shmuel, now Hashem gave life, we need to start the Shas from the beginning. So he told the guy to read Brachot from the beginning. And on every word, he and Rav Shmuel are arguing what that wrote on that, what that Chacham wrote on that. Until that mamash started to make fire from the limud heat. So he told him, look, Rav Shmuel, they told him, Rav Shmuel, he needs to rest. Let him learn in pleasant, quiet. Told him, the one that gave life. There are people that saying, when Hashem gave life, Hashem gave life, people are thinking to themselves, thou need to enjoy life. No, doesn't mean thou need to enjoy life. To take advantage of life, to learn in life, to make good things with life. This is why Hashem gave life. Four years ago, we came to sell the chametz, and that day, the rabbi came a little bit, until that he left his book, was a little bit late. By the time that we knew, and Rabbi Binyamin Levi, he was sitting, Av Beit Din of Jerusalem, he was sitting with us always. So he said, it's late, it's late, it's late. So I told him, look, I know that Arav, that he's not forgetting nothing. Doesn't have no distractions. He knows the times. He's not forgetting. If it's late, he knows. And if he didn't come, he knows that it's late. He said, but look, what's the time? And also by the Magen Avraham, have to be before of Chatzot. So I told him, Rebbe, rest, don't worry. If it was too late, Arav would come. I don't have a doubt. But he could not. Every time he told me, but it's late. In the end, I went to Arav. I had mercy on Rabbi Binyamin. So I told to Arav, Rabbi Binyamin saying that it's late. So he said, all right. And he came and he started to talk Divrei Torah. Rabbi Binyamin almost passed away. He didn't know what to do. It's late. And Arav Ovadia is talking words of Torah. So I told him, tell him that. Tell Arav Ovadia that it's late. So Rabbi Ovadia said, what Rabbi Binyamin wants? Why is intense? So I told him, Rabbi Binyamin, because he's fear from heaven, he's afraid that it's late. Rav looked at him, slowly, slowly, and then he opened his mouth and told him, long answer of a lot of poskim, and that you can count on this and can count on that. I told him, Rabbi Binyamin, I praise you that because of your stress, huge lesson we learned that we never had the dream that we're going to learn. Sometimes you think Rav is silence. There is no reason. Everything is calculated. And if it looks late for you or early, just because you think about yourself that you know something better than him. Wow. I know that it's already sites, holy sites like those. Because of greatness, we will not gonna see. I'm saying the truth. Always, I imagined myself in my imagination of childhood. When I was observing on the greatness of Hrav Avadia, I'm saying that this is Maran, Rabbi Yosef Karo came back to our generation to establish his words, to straight up his words. There was no in the world from the time of Maran Baal Shulchan Aruch one that war, that fight on the psakim of Maran like Rav Avadia, was fighting all of his life, and he was pushing Avrechim not to learn just like that Gemara and first ones and Maran Abet Yosef. Every question that was on him, he's answering. And he was saying to Avrechim, put an effort, don't ask questions, put effort. And he was so happy when people would give him answers on the Bet Yosef. All of his life, I think, really, that this is Maran himself came from heaven. Maran in his life checked what that he wrote, and he came back to check what that he wrote again, like Rav Avadia. We never saw something like that. The genius Rabbi Shalom Mashash was elder than Rav Avadia in 15 years, even more. He was huge, and he was canceling his opinion to Rav Avadia totally. He was so huge, and he was, how many things I saw from him, I heard from him, and he wrote things to Maran. And in that letter, it's typed, I think, in the 10th volume of Yabi Omer, he wrote, an individual in his generation and in the generations. An individual in his generation and in other generations. Plenty of generations wasn't something like that. What we lost. What we lost. Also the genius, the Rav Vosner, that gonna live a long life. He also elder than Rav. In few years Hashem gonna give him long life. Amen. And he wrote, on the book that the grandson of Maran wrote, on Choshen, a wonderful book on Choshen Mishpat, is my son-in-law, and he wrote it and went to his grandpa. And so his grandpa, Rav Avadia, told him, go to Rav Vosner, that he's gonna write for you. So he told him, I don't know him, I'm embarrassed. He's very gentle and shy. Told him, don't be shy, tell him that I send you. Told him, but look, I have a letter from you, from grandpa. What do I need more? Told him, no, anyway, take a letter from Rav Vosner. He went to Rav Vosner, told him that his grandpa sent him, and they honored him very much. Immediately he wrote for him, and he wrote, the grandson of my genius friend, huge friend, rabbi of all rabbis, I wrote those words, and someone told me that I'm overreacting. And I told him, by my opinion, I'm not overreacting. Because this is what you're writing on one in the generation. And he was one in the generation. Who wrote that first? The Noda B'Yuda. He was genius in the world. And he was very strict, very strong. Look at his answers. He was attacking genius people, attacking with the fire of the Torah. And there was one genius wise person that was afraid from the Nodam Yehuda. He was afraid from him. It was Rabbi David Bracha, a wise person from Turkey. You're going to ask, who was the Nodam Yehuda? Everyone knows him. Ask who is Rabbi David Bracha? No one knows. But if you're going to see what he's answering to him, he's telling him, I'm judging in front of you like a student that is standing, sitting on the floor. And he's asking, and to him, and only to him, he wrote, Rabbi of all rabbis, genius of all geniuses. Genius above all geniuses. Rav Vosner wrote that on Rav Ovadia. From that you're going to learn that he hold him as an individual, unique. Look who are the huge people that testify on him, what they wrote on him when he was still young. Rabbi David Jungreis, that was a head of Edah Haredit in that generation, he was very young. He wrote on him, Rabbi Ovadia is very, very firm, afraid from Hashem very, very much. A verse from the Navi Ovadia, he wrote it on Rav Ovadia. It's not a regular fear from heaven to show fear. When you're looking at him, it was look like that he's acting by halacha. But if you would look deep to understand where he was holding, you would be afraid. He was the biggest posek in the generations. And if you would know how much he was afraid to say psak, how much he was checking and checking and checking, and people would say, why you need to check so much? He was afraid. He was putting psaki more than every posek, and the fear was still standing in the place. Fear from Hashem that you cannot compare to know Yirah. One day I came to him, and his son, Rabbi Moshe, that's going to have a good life, he had a question that someone asked him from France. They asked, over there they have keys that you cannot enter, or by a doorbell, or by a key, so you cannot enter to the house in Shabbos. So what are you going to do? You cannot ring the bell and you cannot take the key from one place to each other. You cannot in Shabbat. So what they were doing? Taking rubber bands and tying that key and making a belt out of it and walking with that belt holds the key. So they asked Maran and he's asking Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe asked Rav Ovadia, and Rav Ovadia is telling him, you need to check. When I came, so Rav Moshe told me, ask Rav to say psak already. So I looked at Rav, I was scared. Until he looked at me, I told him, Rabbeinu is asking something that it's Torah, and someone is pushing you. Rav is standing in front of me and I'm in front of him. Suddenly he turned to the closet books. I thought that he doesn't want to talk. He went, took a book from the library. It was Kaf HaChaim, opened Ilchot Shabbat in Kaf HaChaim. Over there it's written that if you have something inside of a belt, it's not allowed to go out with it. So he's telling us, what do you want? I was quiet. So he told me, he saw on me that I have something to say. So he told me, what do you want to say? So I told him, I'm sorry. I'm asking for forgiveness. He said, yes. He said, over there is a complete belt and you're adding a key. But here, you don't have a belt, it's a rubber band. The key, he is the belt. The key itself is holding the tie. It's written, Al Yitalel Choger Kimfateach. Don't praise yourself, it's complex. So he said, I'm telling you, I'm not changing a letter. He said, but Maran is writing that it's not allowed to go with a belt. Shlomo Amar is saying that you can divide, that it's two issues. If I was ready to be swollen in earth in that moment. I wanted to say to his son Moshe, what you done to me, where you put me in the mouth of the lion? And he said that second and third. He's saying Maran is saying, writing. And then he's saying, and Shlomo Amar is saying. I told myself, you are rude, and I didn't know what to say, I was quiet. Rav closed the book, didn't say nothing, put it back to his shelf. After a while, Rabbi Moshe called me and told me that Rav allowed, permitted it. He saw, he said, you're right. But look how much time, how many times he checked. It's Hilchot Shabbat, that there is no one in the world, no one that can stand in front of him. All of the Torah he knew. His knowledge is huge. Every letter of all of the first Mefarshim, no one in the world can stand in front of him. Harav gave a shiur, a class, on Psik Resha and not gonna die. Something that if yet you have to do in Shabbos, in front of Rabbi Meir Mazuz, he was talking about that. And we're listening. Amazing explanation, sweetness. What I'm going to tell you? So I couldn't hold myself. So I said to Rabbi Mazuz, have you ever tasted taste like that? So he told me, I never heard something sweet like that. This is what Rabbi Mazuz said. After a while, he was talking in the yeshiva. Rabbi Meir Mazuz said in his yeshiva, on Psik Resha, and he said to them that we were sitting and listening. Everyone that heard that will never going to forget that. Harav is doing Psik Resha, open your brain and putting things inside your brain. Rabbi Meir said, where you can find something like that? And where are we going to see? Praise the eye that saw and the ear that heard that you're going to have the merit. You can see it like that and to tell and to show. Thinks a person need to honor him, a posek. Never. He never said a psak if he haven't checked it again and again from all directions. Every rabbi counting a little bit on his knowledge, Rav Avadya never, that he's rabbi of all rabbis, that he knows all of the Torah, is not counting on himself, checking and checking. Not being lazy, tired. And he told me, after a while he wrote that, he was teaching Ben Ish Chai when he was young. And he was arguing with him a lot, disagree. And the Jews from Iraq was making protests why he's arguing with the Ben Ish Chai. Told him, you think that I am... He told him, the Kamea of the Ben Ish Chai. He said, they told him, Kamea that Rav Ben Ish Chai wrote can revive the dead. You're not afraid to argue with him? He said, if I had the shoe of a Ben Ish Chai, I would make Kamea out of it. I would hold it with me. But it's Torah, and you have to find the truth. In Shulchan Aruch, I think that he said that he had a huge Shulchan Aruch, a big Shulchan Aruch, there is a lot of blank space in the sides, and he saw his own, maybe it's the Ben Ish Chai, not the Shulchan Aruch, the Ben Ish Chai. The books of his was full with small handwrites. Before that he was teaching, he was checking and writing and learning and writing and learning. And like that he was teaching all of the Ben Ish Chai from the beginning till the end. And he was writing all of the time his understandings on that. People couldn't understand how huge he was, but he was above something huge. He was never rejecting with no reason, everything with effort that you can never imagine. Everything he was looking for and checking, he was checking really with his huge ability. There is no more books like his books. Rabbi Meir Mazuz said to the students, every time that you're going to hear that a Rav is saying Shi'ur, you have to run. He told them, here in this world we have the possibility to go, to drive 1 hour, 2 hours to hear him. But when you're going to be in the world to come, if you're going to have all of the money in the world, he's crying. Just to see his cloak, his glimmer of the Rabbanan in the world to come. Just to see him. Who can stand in his place? I wish that he, like that he was saying good things and being a Sanigor when he was alive here in this world, he will never going to rest the guard of Am Yisrael in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To bring our suffering and our troubles in front of Hashem until that Hashem is going to bring Mashiach Tzidkenu. Only the King Mashiach can replace the place of Rabbi Ovadia. Very fast in our days, I mean.